going on with dance and stuff? What's happening with dance and things? What's going on? What's happening? What's going on with dance and stuff?
These are the sounds of New York in the evening. It's now it's after 6:30. I just left my studio. It's a really exquisite, kind of perfect spring evening in New York. Blue skies. The sunlight is moving towards the west and blaring into my eyeballs as I walk west towards home. I've taken to walking to and from work more often than taking the train because the weather's so good, and also I don't seem to have time to exercise lately because things have gotten weirdly busy between school and Reed and Harriet stuff. We're doing a really fun project right now for a Juilliard student, Jack Murphy, who is graduating shortly, and Jack Fervor is making him a solo that will be a little film, and we're making a really fun costume that's been a great pleasure to spend too many hours on. And also, I intended to record the podcast today with Harriet, and I forgot. So that's just the truth. I forgot. You might be hearing wind. I wonder. I'm on Grand Street. I'm just getting towards the Trader Joe's, and then I'm gonna turn. I like walking home on Broome Street. And let me see if I have anything to tell you this week. Is anything going on with dance and stuff? Did you watch the Sofia Coppola New York City Ballet Gala thing for the spring? I watched it, you know, and it made me feel emotional and nostalgic for going to the ballet. And I haven't felt that particularly about New York City Ballet in a while, but I really love New York City Ballet. I feel so comfortable in that theater. I like the ethos of the dancing. I love working there. I mean, most of the time, you know, working's hard no matter where you're doing it. Sometimes. Oh, wow. Those people are just listening to some, like, Terry Riley or something in this little park. Anyways, I'm now on Broome Street, which is developing at a rate that is astonishing over here on the Lower East Side. There's all these new glassy constructions. This one in particular across from me has like a lobby area that initially I was like, what is going on? It looked like the interior of like a fancy concert hall or something, in the like lobby interior, but it's now got more stuff in it. So stopping to look like that. It's now looking more conventional. I'll soon be right outside Essex Market, where I like to grab lunch before I head to work. And I'm now so attached to this chicken salad croissant sandwich at Café d'Avignon that you always have ready to go. It costs $9. It is so, so good. Please, please come and try the chicken salad sandwich at Café d'Avignon at Essex Market. You won't regret it. You have an absolutely beautiful, flaky, buttery croissant. And it's one of those croissants that's even really good when it's not just freshly baked. Because you know how like mediocre croissants are only good when they're just out of the oven. Well, these are so good. They transcend just out of the oven goodness. Oh, I like it when I get here. Things are feeling slightly less hectic. Okay, going back to the New York City Ballet Gala. Oh, doesn't Anthony Huxley have just the most pristine, am I going to call it technique? Yeah, I guess. But it's not really that. It's sort of just, he just fundamentally has this kind of quality of wholeness and beauty and perfection. He's so good. And good idea, Justin Peck, to make like a long vehicle for Anthony, whom we haven't seen dance in so long. And what else was on the show? Gonzalo doing dances at a gathering in the studio. So lovely. And won't we miss seeing him perform? Though, I feel like even after his New York City ballets are over, you're not going to be able to keep him off the stage. That's a body that loves moving. Loves to move. Can't stop. Can't keep him out of a yoga class, out of a conditioning class, out of a ballet class. He's obsessed. And then they did... Oh, Russell and Ashley Bowder did duo concertant. That little section, the introduction to the dance. And I loved it in the wings. Just one perfect little shot. I liked it when Russell did those parallel releves right at the beginning and his little turnip arches popped out right towards the camera, just directly at the camera, turnip arches. And in black and white, as Jack Ferver said when Russell Jansen appeared, he said topless. And indeed, Russell Jansen did appear to be topless in that very pale blue leotard. But when shot in black and white, you know, who even knows? Although, this is incredible. Harriet and I designed Anthony Huxley's little outfit for his Adagio for Strings solo. And it was based on a class outfit that Adam Elms had worn at the Australian Ballet one day in class. And I said, Adam, I'm going to take your pictures. First day I ever met him, I'm sure he was like, what's your deal? I took his picture, I sent it to Harriet, and I said, doesn't this seem right? Anyways, Joseph Walsh, good friend of the podcast, we were talking about, excuse me, you're going to have to go ahead and excuse me. We actually did a watch along, Joe, Lauren, and I, as we are prone to doing with ballet stuff, and we're doing this watch along, and Joe goes, are those tights navy blue? Or he goes, maybe he said, like, those are blue, right? I said, how did you know that? He said, well, they clearly weren't black. What an eye, Joe, what an eye. Even in black and white, Joe could see that black was blue and blue was black. Oh, things are fun around here. Oh, I guess it's a no walk. Almost got killed. Actually, excuse me, I'm at a crosswalk. Sorry, I'm gonna go. This car tried to kill me. I literally put up a palm to a car, which is, you know, not my style. Oh, sorry. That person wanted some money for me, but I don't have cash. Anyways, so then they did Liebeslieder duet, and I felt very weepy. I do love that dance very much, and I do miss that space, the lobby of New York State Theater, which is famously the most comfortable lobby in New York. Such a handsome shape. Generous ceilings. Just really radiates a kind of warmth without being ostentatious or dizzying in the way that the Metropolitan Opera House lobby is an absolute labyrinth. Okay, so Liebeslieder, Maria, and Ask dance so beautifully. Two dancers who also will be retiring shortly and whom we shall miss dearly. And then the show ended. I know I've gone out of order, but the show ended with Divertimento number 15, the last section. Yeah. I almost wish we'd seen a different section of Divert, but I understand it was the finale to the show. Let me just make sure I'm still recording, and I am. I'm crossing over a street, which is Christie Street. It's very hectic. Okay. Walk sign. Ooh, lots of mirror, broken mirror. Okay, so Divertimento number 15. Tyler Peck was leading the troops, and it was a delight. Everybody looked so happy to be out there, and I have great appreciation for Divertimento number 15. It's one of those ballets that's really grown on me over the years, and I don't think it was until dancing it when I was it must have been 25 or so, which was famously 15 years ago. When I was 25, I danced at ballet, the Alberta Ballet, and I thought, oh wow, this is a real genius piece. And if you can go ahead and watch the solo variations in Divertimento number 15, you're going to say, oh, this is how you grow a form. This is how you take something called ballet. And even if it's in a tutu and it's looking ever so pretty and classical, if you really look at those steps in Divertimento number 15, you think, oh wow, it's really queering the form. So Balanchine, better work. Balanchine, better work. oh, if only he were alive today and I could tell him in the hallway, Mr. B, better work. He'd like that, I think. I don't know about Mr. B and his relationship to men so much. I think he sort of neither here nor there. I think they existed in a kind of perfunctory way. They were of use to him. At any rate, that nice was not directed at me. It was for something else. What should I have for dinner tonight, everybody? Maybe you should write in suggestions for next week's dinners. This episode is going to go up in a matter of hours, quite frankly. And if I've not recorded enough by the time I do actually get home, maybe I'll have to give somebody a telephone call to supplement with something. I'm not even going to say something interesting, because at this point, this is really as good as it gets. It's Thursday night in New York, which has, in recent years, or maybe this has been since always, I don't actually know. I've only been alive for 40-odd years, and most of those years, well, not most, but many of those years I wasn't here. But Thursday night's become a really, really happening night in New York City. Seems to be, in many ways, even more energetic than Friday nights or Saturday nights. I don't know why. I almost crossed over to Spring Street, but I thought better of it, and I'm staying on Broome. The good thing about Broome is that it's just kind of somewhat less of a scene. You get to walk past Sunrise Market, just an excellent Japanese grocery store. Maybe I'll have that for dinner. I'd have to pick up some vegetables. Anyways, what else have I watched? I neglected to watch the Trisha Brown streaming show Through the Joyce, though I think the performance was filmed at Judson Church. I know they did revive Water Motor, Trisha's famous solo, and it was danced by friend of the pod, Mark Cruselat. Harriet and I did receive some messages several weeks ago asking if we'd be interested in rethinking the water motor costume for Mark's body. And we gave them a quote and they said no thank you. Which is fine. That's just how things go. One has to ask for what the thing is worth, and then one has to understand if whoever it is they're asking says no thank you. And that does happen with some frequency. I'll wait for Harriet to come back next week to tell you. Actually, next week's not going to be Harriet, but the week after that'll be Harriet. To tell you a story about how costume design is regarded in the hierarchy of collaborative arts. It's illuminating in many ways. I'm actually not in a place where I'm feeling ungrateful. I'm not in a place where I feel as if I have a lot to complain about. I'm generally feeling more optimistic than I can at times feel with regard to this field I devote so much time to. But, we had a little hiccup this week. I mean, it was kind of iconic in a way, but basically the way that we're treated, I do believe is in exception to the way that other artists are treated in terms of contract negotiations and compensation, things of that nature. Now, I can't be totally sure. I don't have 100% transparency about fees for all the people who make things, but look, I know that lighting designers and costume designers don't make a great deal of money, and that is A-okay. However, we do need to make a living, and when we are going to go ahead and ask for money, we're often treated as though we've done something sacrilegious by kind of standing up for ourselves. And truth of the matter is when you ask for money, it doesn't imply that the other people are gonna have to say yes. It's a conversation, really. At any rate, Harry and I will get into that another day, and we'll organize a talk around how and why costumes are made and are expensive. And it's a really interesting conversation, and it's one that we've, you know, obviously thought a lot about and also had with each other and others quite a lot, because people are confused at why costumes cost what they cost. At any rate, now I'm on Broadway. One of the most depressing streets in Soho. Just full of stores they have everywhere. Every store I see is a store I see in Indiana, is a store I see in Missouri, is a store I see in Santa Monica. Honk honk. Oh, it's music. This is conceptual. I'm recording this soundbite for John Cage's next score. Am I watching anything, you ask? Well, thank you. I did try to watch this superhero family drama starring Josh Duhamel the other night, and I got about 4.5 minutes in and fell asleep, but I was quite tired. So I'm not going to blame it on Josh Duhamel, who still very handsome. Even though they have him in this, or I'm not going to say even though, maybe it's because they have him in this really extravagant, kind of Triton wig. If you're going to think about, what did Ariel's dad's hair look like if it were to kind of manifest in the live action version of Disney's Little Mermaid, it's this wig. They're going to just have to borrow this wig from Josh Duhamel when they do this Little Mermaid movie, which I feel like they've been talking this movie up for years and years and years. Remember when it was to star Chloe Grace Moretz? Well, I don't think that's the plan anymore. I'm fairly certain she's aged out of the role at this point. Did anyone see Greta? I did. Anyways, Jack and Jeremy and I were just talking about Greta the other day. At any rate, it's been a while since Isabelle Huppert has appeared on the silver screen, but I think after her Oscar nomination, she was like, I'm just going to do a little and not a lot. What else have I watched? I obviously every week have been watching Claire Saffitz with her weekly offering on Dessert Person. Most recently, she made chocolate chip cookies, and she's one of those people who does a recipe. Can you imagine being in that car, quite frankly? I mean, I'm literally 25 feet away, and you are somewhere entirely else in space and time. And yet, there is someone in that car, in that vehicle. Their poor ears. Maybe they have noise-canceling headphones in addition to their vehicle volume being all the way up. What are we talking about? Oh, please remind me. We were talking about Greta. Oh, boy. We were talking about Greta and then Isabelle Huppert. Oh, and then Claire Saffitz, and then cookies. Yes. She has a cookie recipe where, you know, the dough has to rest overnight for 8 hours minimum or something like that to develop the flavor. Who's planning like that to make chocolate chip cookies? I guess I will. I would. I have done things like that. I'm not wearing my mask outside. And I'm just going to tell you the truth. I'm 1 week post my second shot. And, you know, I'm being thoughtful. If I get very close to a person, I'll pull up my mask or veer to the side if I'm recording a podcast like I am right now. But anyways, in 1 week, I'll really be in the clear and I'm going to be a maskless wonder. Still talking about Claire Saffitz. So Claire recently did her chocolate chip cookies, and then I believe there was one. Well, she did her croquembouche with her brother-in-law, and that was, it was very satisfying to watch Claire sort of like nail it as she instructed her brother how to make this very complex dessert. And he failed in many ways, though I'm sure the thing he'd made was delicious to put in his mouth. It's just, it didn't look like what it was meant to look like. And I guess that is the point of the croquembouche. It should never be my first choice of a dessert or a celebratory treat at a wedding or an event. These honkers are people trying to get in the Holland Tunnel, in case you're wondering. So, you know, I forgive them. It's the frustrating thing to want to leave work and get back to New Jersey, and it's, you know, it's after 6 and everyone's hungry. They're probably listening to dance and stuff, which is super confusing these days. So that would push me to honk as well. The other thing I've been watching some of is, what's her name? Alison Roman. She's not my favorite. She's a hard pill to swallow in many ways, but look, I'd have her on the podcast. You'd happily have her on the pod. Alison, if you're listening, I'd like you to come and give us some context for why you are how you are. oh my gosh, someone is wearing these like 8-inch platform shoes, fully flat platform, just so much rubber. It's amazing. Allison just made pancakes that waffle lovers would love, which just means that they're buttermilk pancakes that have been fried in fat, like I think she used coconut oil, for long enough that the edges become quite almost scorched, or like a deep, deep, deep brown, very, very crispy at the edges, which is also how I like my pancakes, which is also how I think a lot of people would agree a pancake should be. I mean, we've all had a bad squishy pancake that's just squishy from edge to edge. But to have a delicious, crispy, fatty pancake is a great pleasure. And Aunt Jane last summer introduced me to the idea of Pamela's pancakes, which is apparently a special treat that the Obamas like to indulge in. And they're in Pittsburgh, I believe. And they've not divulged their recipe completely, but there are people online who've speculated as to how the Pamela pancake is achieved. And I have tried those recipes with some success. Now, I'm basing that on nothing because I've never had a Pamela pancake. But, you know, one day, if I'm ever in Pittsburgh again, you know, Harry and I have never done a job for Pittsburgh Ballet Theater, and we'd happily, Susan Jaffe, call us. Susan Jaffe, maybe she'll be the next director of ABT. Do you have any thoughts about that? Please comment, view, subscribe, push the button. Now I'm on Van Damme Street and 6th Avenue, and I'll be home momentarily. As it turns out, I don't have any packages waiting for me. I got some natural shampoo the other day in a package. And then before that, I got these new Bluetooth headphones that are, I think they're good, but they are giving me trouble at the moment. They don't want to pair with my phone. So I don't know what that's about, but it is maybe to do with having paired them with my iPad the other day. I don't know. I'm going to do some research when I get home. Also, I've been spending countless, countless hours on this portfolio document for University of the Arts. And initially, I was like, I'm just going to get it done. What do I need a portfolio for? And now I've put so much time and effort into it, and my computer is really suffering from this InDesign document. And now I'm at a place where I'm like, well, this better be good. You know, like now I'm going to really want to like this InDesign book, or this will all be for naught. All these kind of moving boxes around into the wee hours of the morning and then stressing out when my computer's like, I'm so sorry, I'm gonna tell you I cannot save your document anymore because you don't have any space in your disk. And I'm thinking, no. I mean, literally, it's 3 a.m, I'm sweating, and it's imperative that this document be saved. I cannot lose this document. This is many hours of my life. I do have my keys, don't worry. I was worried, but I don't want you to worry. Put my hands on the key. The leaves are just coming into their own. They're fully verdant, dark green, medium green colors. But they don't yet look sort of wearied from the summer, you know? They're still young and vivacious, like Harriet's puppy, Parker, who's now becoming a very well-behaved studio dog. I'm in my building. I'm going to open the mailbox. got one of these like little, well, not so little envelopes full of coupons, I guess, exclusive offers. Never been a coupon person, but I do sometimes think about all the money I could have saved in the course of my life if I'd been diligent about deals and offers and airline miles. The amount of airline miles that have just gone to the wayside, it's really frightening to think about. Makes me feel like a very wasteful person, but it's all okay. Most of the time, I fly places for free because I'm flown for work. And then when I'm there, I don't have a lot of time to be a tourist because I have to do my job. Anyways, I'm home now and I'm gonna take a little break. I hope you enjoyed walking with me from the Lower East Side. And I don't know what the second half of the pod will be for you tomorrow, but hopefully I'll figure out something with a tiny bit more structure. That's it for the moment. Je du je dis, I love you. I'm now recording. I'm back home now for a couple hours. I know on the walk home I talked about watching the City Ballet Gala with my watch-along friends, Joe and Lauren. And who should I have this evening but our friends, Joe and Lauren?
Yeah.
Say hello.
It's us.
Hi.
They're on the phone. I literally told them they're doing this podcast 3 minutes ago. Because it's due tomorrow. And, you know, we make content for the people. Thank you so much. I can't thank you enough for doing this. And our listeners, thank you. You're now, you've been on this pod so many times. It's old hat.
Old hat.
It's a joy every time.
Yeah, and how's your life new? You live in a different house than maybe the last time you were on the podcast.
Yeah, but since you visited us throughout quarantine, we're still in the same place. We're like,
oh yeah, I over mean, by essentially,
the, over by the
emotionally, I live with Joe and Lauren in COVID. they're the only people I've actually visited in real life, and I talk to them on the phone probably more than they'd like to talk to me.
True.
You're like one of the only people that we just like pick up for kind of no matter what. We're like halfway through a shower. We're like crying. We're doing whatever. We'll pick up.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that because it's random. It is random. And if this is a random cold call and we have two questions we're going to get to the bottom of. Oh, wait. First, we want to know a little bit more about what's happened to you since, but I don't want to know too much about COVID because, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's at this point redundant to say, like, I don't leave my house a lot. I've been doing class in a pod or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all the same. The only good thing is, like, you know, today we heard that they're, like, going to demask the world if you're vaccinated.
In New York, too.
Yeah, I think it was, like, CDC, but it doesn't mean that we can demask in the studios yet. So we're waiting for that day. That'll be great.
Oh, okay. That'll be so great. Yeah. Dancing in a mask is no fun. And Lauren, you go to school now, which is new.
I do go to school. I'm actually going to finish my first year at Stanford in a couple weeks.
Wow.
So that's that's a new quarantine, you know, thing I've been doing.
She's been like studying damn hard. It's insane.
And you never have to wear a mask because you do it at home.
That is the joy. I barely have to wear pants.
Oh my god, I never wear pants. I only wear sweatpants and I only go to school on Zoom as well. So that we have in common.
It's gonna be hard to go back to, you know, pants. Daily pants.
Well, for the first time.
the daily woven pants. I'm going to I'm going to school this summer in real life. Did you know that?
No.
I don't Philadelphia. Think you knew
that. Yeah. We're going to be in person in Philadelphia for like a month and a half.
Breaking news. This is amazing.
Breaking news. Do da do do da do da do da do. Breaking news. Beep, 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 beep. Oh, that's more accurate. but anyways, and also your Orson has had surgery.
Yeah, Orson the dog. He is a champ. He had like. Apparently, he's literally just, like, tumbling down onto the cushions right now. He's falling asleep. He had, like, hundreds of small bladder stones in his bladder,
whoa,
which was, like, really sad. He was not in pain, though. They just, like, found them accidentally on, like, a routine blood work thing that we did for him. And...
wait, is that like having a bag of marbles in your body? Like, what did they save some of them for you?
They sent them to a lab. There's like they were like some large ones that were like measurable, and then there were hundreds of small grains of sand, basically.
Yikes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they took a while to pick them out, but they got them all out, and he's gonna have a new lease on life, you know.
Wow. Wait. Okay, we're just gonna get through all the big news. Lauren, you also have stopped dancing with the San Francisco Ballet.
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
That was big news.
It was big news. Big, I mean, for me, most of all, it was big. Yeah, so I stopped 2019, summer 2019, started going to school.
Immediately.
Do you miss it? Are you sad?
No, I think because, I mean, of course, like, I think I'll always miss like some aspects of it, you know, like the feeling of performing and all that kind of stuff that, you know, you can't really experience any other way. But I think what's helping is the fact that Joe is still dancing. So I don't feel like it's far away from me.
She still has to hear all of my bullshit.
So it doesn't make you like feel sad that you're in proximity to it, kind of it makes you like the separation's a little bit, you're like being weaned away from it because it's still kind of there.
Yeah, which was a nice surprise because, you know, I wasn't sure how it was going to feel, but
that's great.
It's been nice. And then I think, you know, because part of me was like, oh, should I just like hold out one more year, but then it would have been COVID, so it was a you know, kind of like a happened right. at the perfect time for me.
And you were like dancing on a thread, right? What are they?
I was like
she was dancing on a fused ankle.
Dancing on yeah, like, you know, the sand that Orson had in his bladder that was like kind of similar to what was going on in my ankle. Yeah,
that's so accurate. Just
you
slowly
were
grinding
your ankle
away.
Was just a bag of sand.
With like chunks of glass thrown in. Yeah.
Oh my god. God, the things dancers do. It's
yeah,
not
if
great.
Anyone has any questions about ankle pain and what you can really put up with, send them directly to Lauren Strongen.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
please.
Send
happy,
you can if you don't have their address, email or otherwise, they are both on Instagram. Lauren Strongen and Joseph Walsh, but you can just, if you need to email the pod, I'll forward it their way. Who was your surgeon, Lauren?
Dr. O'Malley at HSS in New York City.
Same as friend of the pod.
David Hallberg. Good luck getting in, everybody. any other big news?
Yeah, we've got a tiny human growing inside my body.
Oh, you are with child. She's with child.
Yes.
Wow. And it's my understanding that it's from heaven on high. You're an immaculate conception.
Yes, it is. It's That's right.
That's great. Wow. Okay. That way no one on this pod or people who are listening have to imagine you doing sex.
No.
That's so great. Well, I had known for some time.
Yes.
But yeah, you've known for the longest, probably.
Our listener, listeners are very happy for you.
Thank you, listeners.
Yeah.
We can't wait to meet her. She's going to be awesome.
Yes. When is she born?
October 20th. So, you know.
Is that a Libra?
Hopefully a Libra. But also, she could be a Scorpio. So.
Time will tell.
Is it like I don't understand, like I don't follow astrology enough to like really grasp or even remember what they all are, but Scorpio seems to be this
mean
thing. So is it like Slytherin if we were like relating it to Harry Potter or something?
For sure.
Yeah, it's like Hufflepuff to Slytherin. Those are our options.
You won't be there will be no Gryffindors.
No Gryffindors.
No.
Well, I'm a Sagittarius, which is clearly Gryffindor or Ravenclaw, perhaps.
Yeah.
Or Slytherin.
I'm a Taurus, and I think I'm like, I took the test, and I think I was a Ravenclaw, but I think I'm, I don't know.
You're
Mr. Popular.
No, people have told me, people specifically, I can think of one person that has drew a snake on my arm at a party and was like, "You're Slytherin," and I was like, "What?"
They were jealous.
I think it's just the eyebrows.
What are you, Lauren? What's your house?
I think I'm Hufflepuff.
Lauren, Hufflepuffs for dodo brains.
No offense to any Hufflepuffs out there.
Wait, but like, who's a famous Hufflepuff anyways? Do we even know a Hufflepuff? No, they're like literally non-characters in the Harry Potter universe.
They are just the extras.
I feel like they're the other kids who like work in the greenhouse with Neville, but like is Neville a Gryffindor?
Yes.
Yeah, but yes. What's her name?
Neville
uses the Gryffindor sword at the end.
What's her name?
Right, but Neville probably should have been a Hufflepuff, but he like he's the other end of the prophecy, right? Because it was either going to be Neville or Harry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is depressing because I like care more about Harry Potter than astrology or the Bible or like any other kind of spirituality.
Yeah.
And as we know, J.K. Rowling is not great.
Yes.
Not great.
Yes.
Not great. But thank you for the books.
Yeah, we're purely talking about this as something else.
Why am I paused? Sorry. I'm back.
You're back.
Okay, today Joe and Lauren and I are getting to our topics, and we have two. Should we start with Mortal Kombat or candy bars?
Start with Mortal Kombat because I know less about that than I do about candy bars.
Okay, so Mortal Kombat's going to be brief. I was thinking I wish I had someone to pod about Mortal Kombat with because I saw it the other day by myself and I thought, this is worth talking about. Jack and Jeremy loved it. I don't know, I'm so glad they loved it. I would say that love is a strong word for me. But you think that I would love it. Why? Tell our listeners why you think I would love Mortal Kombat.
I think because you have this thing for just being mindlessly entertained at some random hour of the day that you need to be, is what those movies are for and why I enjoy them as well. And why it's like I was able to go through all of Star Wars during ballet classes during quarantine because I just decided to stop watching ballet classes and do it while I was watching Star Wars, and it like made things a lot easier.
Oh, amazing. I should have sent you my extended cut of the Cindys doing ballet class to Star Wars.
You made us watch that and I enjoyed it so much.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it is one of the finest films ever made.
It's very good.
That should be posted. But I would say that Mortal Kombat is like, it falls in like a camp zone as opposed to like Avengers, which can just kind of feel like you're having to like be super commercial. But like Mortal Kombat is slightly a better situation for like making fun of kind of like Cats. You know, it's like...
Yeah, I do feel like Mortal Kombat seemed like they had more control over the content, you know? Please don't apologize.
That's our washing machine.
I love a singing washing machine. I love when washing machines sing. They're like Korean and Japanese washing machines are like songbirds, quite frankly.
It goes on for way too long. Just let us finish off. Here we come. Got it. Okay.
Beautiful. But I do feel like they had kind of more creative freedom than the Avengers movies, which feel like, you know, they are constrained by the enormity of that universe and the amount of people who are going to see it. But Mortal Kombat was absolutely grotesque. It was gratuitous. It was
based on a video game.
Now, will you tell me about the video game? What do you know of it?
The video game, it's like a smashing buttons video game for me. Like, it's just one of those where you're like, direction, circle, square, triangle, whatever it is, like as many times as you can, and then you kick somebody like 1,000 times in the face if you just like kick, like hit square or whatever, and then you like move through.
It's not strategy. It's not role playing. It's just kill as quickly as possible.
Yeah, it's just like KO, like knockout or fatality.
KO. Right, and they say those things. They say on those the
exactly.
Video game.
Exactly. As well as I get over here.
Things like finish him.
Finish them.
Yeah, I think it's now finish them.
Okay.
Incredible. Mortal Kombat for a new age. Finish them.
Yeah, but like, so in terms of the characters and stuff like that, like, they had no relation. I had no idea that there was like a backstory to it, that there was some world, like outworld, inworld, whatever it's called.
Right. Are there books that teach us these lessons?
I don't know. I don't know. I really think it's not that high. We're not even like, there's no script until like they made this movie.
Right. So do you think they like first came the video game, then someone was like, this is a movie, and they developed this universe?
Yeah, they did it in 1992 first, or 94 or
did
whatever.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I remember seeing that, and it was like, I really liked the practical effects as opposed to the CGI, because it's just like the gore is way more hilarious.
Now, did you like the CGI in this movie?
I mean, it was fine as far as CGI goes. Like, I think that it was more it was good at like displaying the things that you would have seen on the video game properly, and like almost like even the splash patterns of the blood were like the same shape as they would have made in the video game.
So intense. Yeah. Every blood squirt that came out of a punch was like a full jar of strawberry jam just exploding. It was so, from the very first moment of blood, I was like, oh, what? I was like, what is going on?
Well, because it's like there's two ancient guys, and then they turn into like netherworld beings after one of them gets killed, whatever. And then
who's that?
The two guys at the very beginning.
Okay, wait. There was the one guy who's like the gardener.
Yeah.
Who's like his wife and child are in the house.
Yeah.
Right? And then are you talking about the Iceman?
Yeah, Iceman, which is Sub-Zero.
So Sub-Zero and the guy who ends up going down into hell to wait.
Who ends up being Scorpio, which is... Or Scorpio. Scorpion? Is it... It's Scorpion.
No, but Joe,
it's Scorpion.
That you are even looking at Google for this is outrageous. Because as if you're like accountable to getting the facts right about Mortal Kombat. It's so crazy. Literally, I'm going to make up names because I have no idea. Like, for me, there's like robot arms, there's forearms, there's blonde girl, there's ice boy, there's fire guy, there's basic guy, and then there's a funny guy.
The fire guy was the main character before, like in previous versions and in the video game.
He should have been the main character because he was the most compelling.
But they made up the guy. That's not a guy from the video game. The main
guy with the like woven armor.
Yeah,
trick.
With the like fancy.
Yeah, his
armor.
Like, literally don't care about you. Give me more of the guy with the slicing hat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Slice Hat was it. You know, like when he saw Batwoman in half, I was like, literally better work. I mean, she
it's
was
the kill of a lifetime. That was just
she was presented into the film like, well, watch out. Remember when the main elder evil guy was like, well, now I present to all of you, my team, my woman who will, she's really going to pull it off for us. This is the one. She flies in and she's like, caca. And then.
I have no clue what you're talking about right now. I definitely checked out many times throughout the movie.
Well, basically, Batwoman didn't have a line, but she was just presented at this certain point when he's assembling his team, which included some, like, big guy. He was just a big guy. But he wasn't Forearms, because Forearms was, like, a giant CGI.
Uh-huh.
Forearms was CGI. And then there was, like, Vampire Mouth Woman.
Yeah, I remember her.
Yeah. Vampire Mouth Woman, who was fearsome. And then suddenly he was like, okay, team, we're going to go... And, like, to this, to beat the other contenders or whatever. But I don't know, like, I don't fully trust you as a team, but wait till you see what I have in store for you. Fly in, Batwoman. She's hovering above, and he's like, can you even imagine? And then they should go come through the black smoke to wherever, you know, the temple where the other people live.
Yeah.
And Batwoman is presented... Like, now she's got it. She's going to do it. And the guy with the hat kills her in approximately 3 seconds.
Yes. And it's very good. It is so good.
The wildest fashion I've ever seen in a movie.
I didn't even remember, like, what that person looked like. Because I had a very, I think, clearly been, like, making dinner or doing laundry or something. And had not looked up until he was, like, about to throw the hat. And then I just saw Batwoman, apparently. Wow. But...
Well, he turned his hat into a table saw, and he sliced her fully in half through from the crown of her head down through her, one can only assume, her vagina.
Giggles. Yeah, but I would say that it was not, like, not bad and not good, and it was more entertaining than some things, but I don't think as entertaining as Cats.
We did have a good time watching. I watched that for a second time for you, Joe.
Yeah, and I really appreciated it. And I also just wanted to hear you and Jack say the names again.
Skimbleshanks.
Skimbleshanks.
I think that's real.
Uh-huh.
I think that's real.
Yeah, that
you
is.
Had a really good laugh when the railroad cat came out.
Oh, a huge laugh, but also... equally as big of a laugh was that one still frame insert of Dame Judi Dench for an eternity just frozen
at the end,
just in all of her like lion mane glory. It was just
incredible.
They had definitely...
I would watch it. I would fast forward through that movie again with you.
Okay, we'll put it on the list.
You're welcome
for when we're together.
Okay, so at the end of the day, we're just going to say Mortal Kombat was fun to look at.
Look at, and like an appropriate appropriation of the video game.
I think people are satisfied. That's my impression I get from Jack and Jeremy, which isn't people in general, but that's the feeling I get.
That's a pretty good consensus.
Just do you the have two any gamer? Yeah, no, I think that they're a good cross-section of the United States. Do you have any gamer friends who you've talked to about it?
I mean, like, Esteban Hernandez is, like, he's a gamer, but not in the traditional sense. He, like, knows all about this, but, like, also is, like, extremely philosophical guy that, like, can manage both worlds and also combine them. And, like, when you're talking about it, it's really interesting.
So he found it interesting enough to talk about.
Yeah, but we both also agreed, I think, upon watching it in episodes. Like, we didn't watch it all as one movie. It was like, I can turn it on for now and then finish it later. And, like, I ended up watching, like, four separate episodes of Mortal Kombat.
Oh, I get what you mean. You divided it
sitting.
Up.
Yeah, sitting.
I exactly. thought maybe I'd miss some. I was like, so now there's a TV show. I'm gonna have to get my eyes on this
pretty soon.
I didn't realize the world was expanding so fast. Mortal Kombat
Cinematic Universe.
Yeah. Well, this is Lauren loved it, clearly.
I had a lot to say about it.
Lauren fell asleep and okay. She's back.
Thank you, Lauren, for bearing with us as we got through Mortal Kombat. But that's all I needed. I just needed to talk about it a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, now, our last topic for the day is we're doing a top five, and it's going to be about top five candy bars. Am I correct?
Sure, we can do candy bars.
Why are we? Were we talking chocolate bars, or are we talking?
Yeah.
I guess it might be. It might be easier to do chocolate bars specifically.
Is there a difference between a candy bar and a chocolate bar? They're the same.
I think they're the same.
Yeah.
Because I'm not including like Clif bars.
No Clif bars. No.
Candy.
Yeah, yeah. I think this. That's
maybe after this we'll do top five. Power bar.
Just power bar.
Malt.
Remember when it was just power bar for a long time?
Yes.
That was the only option. Yes. At REI. It was just stacked.
And power bar will literally pull your teeth out.
Yeah.
I had to eat so many of those as a kid.
But like, I kind of have a craving for power bars sometimes. Like, I'd prefer those than some of the new macro things.
The only good thing about a power bar is that they last a long time because they're so hard to chew.
Yep.
And then once you do manage to get a bite, like, masticated, like, partially digested, you're like, oh, I can eat this. And that part's sort of satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you're not hungry for a long time after, because that was...
Is that true?
I mean, they're, like, so dense, and there's a lot of work.
I just don't think I haven't had one since my body was, like, really hungry, like, when I was dancing, and I could have eaten, like, 25 power bars, probably.
I got stopped in the airport one time because I had, like, too many power bars in my carry-on, and I think they thought it was, like, C4 or something.
Or they were really concerned because they'd read the book The Martian, because the rocket they send up to save Matt Damon explodes because of power bars.
Oh, wow.
Did you know that?
I had no idea.
Like, as it's the one thing they, like, forgot to account for in their, like, rush to get a rocket to outer space to save him... is that the, like, specialty food bars they designed for him to, like, sustain him until the next mission came to get him. Going through that, the heat was so extreme in the ship going through the atmosphere that, like, the oil in the bars, like, separated from the whatever the rest of the bar was made from and then exploded the rocket ship.
I mean, that seems really... What kind of oil?
Probably peanut, canola, if he has a nut allergy.
Highly flammable. Sounds like they were going to poison
all
him.
All oil is flammable. No, oil is highly flammable.
I guess.
Olive, grapeseed, peanut, walnut oil. So, we're doing top five candy bars. Would you like to start, Lauren, with what your number, maybe... your fifth one is number something that you don't
okay,
love
wait.
As much.
Give me a second to. Okay.
Are you guys writing notes? Should I write notes?
No, I'm just looking
at pictures of candy bars right now,
he's
which is
cheating.
Also making
Joe's
me hungry.
Cheating.
Joe is fully Google fiending on this episode.
Yep. Okay.
It's what they do on the pods, you know.
Oh. Okay. Wait. This is all time.
Yeah.
Like,
Joe
all
is.
Time.
We should write them down so that we can, like, do a recap at the end. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna write.
You're gonna do it? Okay, good. Scribe.
Here we go.
I'm gonna write my name.
Okay, I like that one. Ooh, I don't like that one very much. I can't remember what it's called, so you might have to help me sometimes.
What is it?
Oh, I remembered.
Oh, you're writing them.
Oh,
what? We're all writing them down.
I'm just
this
really
is a podcast. This is how it works. Like, nobody prepares and people talk or not.
That's exactly how it is.
I can't think of five candy bars right now.
I have my five.
That one's okay.
It's just hard to...
Oh, I did it. I figured it out. Oh, wait, there's so many good ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, the more you think about it, the more you realize how incredible candy bars are.
They're so good, especially just the regular Old American ones.
Mm-hmm. And they've been there
Gosh,
for so long.
I feel like
long,
I could
know?
Do, like,
They've been there for us. Oh, damn.
I could do like 10.
Every movie, every time you need a snack. Blood sugar.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, I got it.
Okay. Number 5.
Okay, what's your number 5?
Reese's. It's not technically
Reese's a... Reese's peanut butter cups.
Yeah, it's a cup, but I mean it counts, right? Because it's a...
Oh, wow. That changes the game for me a little bit. Okay. Oh, Reese's peanut butter cups. It was a toss-up. I didn't think of it as a candy bar.
Which, it was a toss-up.
You put that first?
That's fifth? Number 5.
Number 5. That's my number 5, too.
Okay, my number 5 is Three Musketeers.
Oh. Not a...
But you know what? I would put that off the list if I could put Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. So I think we're all unanimous. It's Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
It's Reese's number 5.
Definitely not Three Musketeers. That's like...
Yeah, clearly Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
I can't believe you said Three Musketeers. They're...
I couldn't think... I wouldn't have said Reese's is a candy bar. That's why.
Yeah, I know. I was up for the debate, too. I was like, they might, like... not accept this as an entry because it's not technically right. A bar.
Okay, let's do number 4.
Number 4 for me is Tony's.
What is Tony's?
Tony's Chocolonely. It's like it's just Tony's Chocolonely. If you haven't had it, get it. And just the plain milk chocolate one. It's like thick, breakable chocolate that it comes in different size shards, but it's like what you'd imagine a Willy Wonka chocolate bar to taste and look like, and it's incredible.
Okay.
And I think there's some of it like goes to something. It's like it's a good company.
I have it higher up.
All right,
it's higher up on my list.
Oh yeah.
Wow, Lauren. So yeah. What's your number 4?
An Aero bar. You know, those like...
No, I know the package, but you're going to have to describe it to me.
It's like I think it's British, and it's like minty, kind of airy, bubbly inside with chocolate outside. Kind of like
it's like
melting
shards,
your mouth.
Shards, kind of like it breaks apart a little bit.
Yeah, kind of like dissolves in your mouth. Delicious.
Oh yeah, I know that. It's bubbly chocolate.
Yeah.
It's really, okay. It's good.
Yeah.
Okay, my number 4. Wait. My number 4 is a Ritter Sport.
Oh,
nice.
Good.
Yeah. I would get, like, I like a lot of them, but like an almond or even one, I like the one with raisins. You know, like, I like Ritter Sport.
I'm not
I know,
into
don't
that.
Look like that.
Cornflake.
Cornflake.
I like the marzipan one.
Marzipan. Delicious.
Yeah, there's something about the heft of the Ritter Sport. Yeah. You know, like it's very sad. And the way that the package opens, you crack it, you know?
Yes. That's why you'd like a Tony Chocolonely.
Okay, number 3.
My number 3.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Now, Tony Chocolonely is just one flavor. There's not like
options. There's multiple. They've got them all. But I do feel like the milk chocolate is where it's at.
Yeah.
And do they have good packaging?
Yeah, it's really great. Like,
it's
old
the best
timey
packaging.
Font. Yeah, it's great. It's got like paper outside.
Yeah.
They're like each way like half
and they're
a
big.
Pound.
They're like big bars. They're like slabs.
Mean, I do fantasize about those Willy Wonka scenes where they like open those giant chocolate bars and shove them in their little kid mouths.
Exactly.
It looks so good.
It really does. Yeah.
And the chocolate bars just need to keep getting bigger because your mouth does too.
Number 3.
Wow.
My number 3.
Wait.
Oh, you go.
Oh,
you
wait,
go.
Wait, where are we? Number 4?
Number 3.
Yeah, number 3.
Oh, did you already do number 3, Joe?
Okay. Lion Bar, which is
peanuts.
It's like a British Snickers.
Right.
But it's like it has a really fond place in our hearts specifically, but it's also just like a really delicious, tasty, probably like stringier caramel than a Snickers, but like similar.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I don't know if there's anything else. Is there
like
a cookie
chewy
on the bottom?
I also have this one higher up on my list. It's chewy and crunchy.
And I think it says nougat. It is very much like a Snickers.
Yeah.
It's
got good branding too.
I put Twix for number 3.
Nice.
I do love a Twix.
Did you ever do anything with them, like
Like, no, I just eat them.
Like, put it somewhere.
Like hang out with them. No, like freeze them. Like, I feel like we froze them usually.
Oh. You know, I've never loved like a frozen grape. Like, the thought of it makes me sick.
Yeah, no.
I'm not into frozen grapes. I'm into frozen candy bars, though. It was like a thing that my mom did constantly. It was just like freeze like York peppermint patties and like.
Ooh, that does sound good.
Yeah,
that sounds good.
Yeah, I would say York does not classify for this list.
Even if Reese's does.
It's
the shape of it is like more like a bar for Reese's because it's.
You'd have to be a real like mint freak to put a York on this list.
A real mint freak.
Okay, number two.
It was a Lion Bar for me.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Gosh, you two are really in tandem over there. I wonder why.
I know.
We just. I don't think our number ones are the same.
Well, my number two was a Nestle Crunch.
Oh, I like a crunch.
Wow.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it could be Crackle or Nestle Crunch. It's the same.
It's true.
Is it like specifically British as well? Or no?
No, it's Nestle.
That's no, like, they're puffed, just they're puffed rice chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Blue.
Blue. The blue one. Mm-hmm. Got it. I'm okay with those.
I love a Nestle Crunch.
I do too. I like that's good. I forgot about those.
You like it to be like a little bit full of stuff.
Yeah, a Nestle Crunch has literally one thing besides chocolate.
I take it back.
It's absolutely full of stuff.
No, I just mean like, it's not that much chocolate. There's like air in all the stuff that's in there.
No, you're right. Yeah, that's true. I like fun. I like a little fun in my life.
What are we on?
What's your two?
My number two is Snickers. So basically it's the same.
Ooh,
but
okay.
Yeah.
Well, Snickers is my number one.
Me too.
Oh, wow.
It's the ultimate.
It's just so balanced. It's like just right as a candy bar.
It is. It really is. I'm glad you said that. You made me feel better because, you know. We had a lot of similarities over here, so.
Yeah, well.
Peanuts, caramel, nougat, chocolate. It's got it all. It's got amazing textures. It's a great candy bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, the caramel is like a little bit thicker than the Lion Bar, and I feel like it holds its shape more, but you can also like, if you want, like, you know, stretch it out and make it like a string and stuff, like the fun stuff.
God, you play with your food.
It's a candy bar. Come on. What the fuck? I'm not allowed to play with the fun food.
I'm trying to think if I ever had a special way of eating a Snickers bar. No, I think I've always just like thrown Snickers in my mouth because like the experience is just like you need all the things at once.
Yeah.
But I'll definitely eat a Snickers bar cold. They are good cold.
Mm.
Yeah.
Fridge, not freezer.
The nougat does get a little snappier than I want it when it's cold, but
ratchety.
What's your number one?
My numero uno, you probably are gonna judge me hard on this.
Oh no, you're gonna be so annoying right now. Is it gonna be like, wait, let me guess. Is it gonna be like rose jelly one?
No, way trashier, much more Bart Simpson.
Oh, Butterfinger.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So interesting. Butterfinger is honorable mentions for me. It almost made the list when I couldn't think of the names of candy bars. I was like, well, Butterfinger is a candy bar. But for me, Butterfinger is like one tiny step up from a Milky Way. Oh, wait, no. Yeah. What's the Three Musketeers?
Three
Musketeers. I mean, Milky Way is just an anemic Snickers bar, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's just Musketeers with Milky Way together.
What is a Milky Way?
Musketeers with Snickers, but without the nuts.
Wait, Milky Way is just the nougat.
Wait, does
Milky Way is just nougat and caramel.
Oh, no peanuts.
No.
No.
It's like
interesting.
Yeah,
And that's what makes it just an anemic, overly sweet Snickers bar.
It's not a protein bar.
Oh, which like Snickers really it's satisfies you. Remember when Snickers was like health food?
Yeah. Yes.
Snickers was Power Bar before Power Bar existed.
It's very true.
Remember the commercial was really like, if you need something to keep you going through the day, Snickers really satisfies.
Yeah, they had some good commercials.
Right?
Totally.
Yeah.
But Butterfinger, interesting. So that Butterfinger, stuff will stay in your teeth for days.
Exactly. Days. I'm a big fan of cavities. I've always been. And so, but I'm gonna food deep dive my, you know, like my at the movie theater shame where it's just darkness and I can get whatever I want. Butterfinger's always in there, but it's definitely like it's a sweet and a savory situation. But I won't divulge anymore.
It feels like you can't take a small bite of a Butterfinger. It's like, oh, I feel like it was always a lot of Butterfinger.
Well, that's why you eat in a movie theater, because when you take a small bite, it gets all over you and it doesn't matter.
It's true. It shatters everywhere. They're incredibly sweet. Mm-hmm. But my movie theater indulgent snack is something that was informed by my friend Tiffany Aubin, who's also a friend of the pod, someone with whom I've been to see a lot of movies, many movies on the Upper West Side at the movie theater across from, you know, from
the like 80 something or 70.
Yeah, across from where Ollie's used to be and all that.
Yeah.
And that movie theater, anyways, I remember like seeing The Pianist there on like a Sunday afternoon when Tiffany and everyone in the movie theater was sobbing and excuse me.
Different times.
But we would take a large popcorn, so much layers of butter. You say, can you put butter in the middle? Can you put butter on the top? And then you get a box of Reese's Pieces. You dump it. You sprinkle it over the popcorn.
Pro
move.
And
then you get a large Coke, 2 straws. So then you have your salty Coke, and then you have your refreshing salty Coke, and then you have your popcorn, and every so often, a delicious Reese's Pieces.
Your salty Coke.
Coke is salty.
I was like, was that what he meant to say?
No, that was, my brain was actually functioning.
It's spicy. It's like spicy water.
Oh, it is spicy. Maybe spicy is the better word than salty. Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
No, mine.
God, you have so much language.
Mine is, it's a personal pan pizza, which is disgusting, but I love those.
What?
Yes.
At the movie theater?
Yeah. Yeah, I like.
What movie theater?
Well, like now it's like Alamo Draft House, which is like fancy pizza.
Oh, yeah.
But
they do like a flatbread on a board.
But if I go to the movies by myself, I will go to an AMC specifically so I can get an icy, a personal pan pizza, and a Butterfinger.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it's a great day.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a dream day.
I love eating absolute trash in the dark.
That's literally why people are so sad that movie theaters haven't been open.
They're open now. We have some movie theaters.
They are. Great.
Do you have open ones where you are as well?
Sorry about Orson snoring.
Yes, we do, but we haven't been yet.
I'm obsessed with, I know. Orson snoring lulls me to sleep.
I know.
Okay, well, that's it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having
that
me.
Was fun. And I'll call you next time I forget to record the podcast.
Yeah, we need
call
to do
that
we
too.
Can do more top fives, and also we can just hang out, or we can stop recording and just do another top five right now.
And
did you watch Brad do potato chips with that guy from Saturday Night Live?
Oh no.
Yeah, he did Taste Buds with I don't know his name. I don't know any of the people on Saturday Night Live, but he's the one who plays Putin.
Putin. Oh, Glenn.
Blonde guy?
Glenn something, maybe. Beck.
Maybe like
Beck Bennett.
Beck Bennett, yeah. And you know what they tried? They tried my Kalbi Japanese seaweed potato chips.
Oh, nice.
I was so like, there's my chips.
There it is.
The last one I saw was Jimmy Kimmel or whatever, eating a lot of
Oh, and they were
way too
having
much meat.
Pork.
Yeah, that looked rough.
A lot.
Remember when they made that pork sandwich at the end with all the kinds?
And the smearable one and the lard from Russia. I couldn't. It was just too far.
I'm gonna throw up.
All right. On that note.
on that note, okay, we're gonna hang up and probably keep talking.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.